Well, obviously, I'm very excited about our 2018 draft class from top to bottom. I think it's a really good class, and obviously, this is always an exciting time. I've been through this now for the third time here, and but we do know that all this has got to parlay to the field. Again, this is still about, you know, winning drafts, but at the end of the day, it's about winning football games, and we really feel like we put some guys on the team that can help us do that. We got a lot of work to do, a lot of work ahead of us. Get these young men here and get them acclimated to the things we do and how we go about it. But again, from top to bottom, I think it's a very strong class. And again, I just want to thank John Dorsey and his and the personnel group for all their work. It's a lot of work put into this. And my coaching staff, again, it's a lot of hours and time and commitment to get things done this way. And we had to make some tough decisions, and we did that. And we're going to move forward with this group and coach them up.
Was this front office, in your mind, more aggressive or take more chances maybe with some of these guys? I mean, a lot of people didn't see Mayfield necessarily as a one or Ward as a four and some of the other picks. You feel like they were more aggressive?
I'm not going to say more aggressive. I just think as a group, I think how we go about it, working together, collaborating on it all, I know it can be seen as more aggressive, but I think what we did is totally believe in how we go about evaluating players and making decisions about putting players on our team.
You got some guys with some checkered backgrounds, Callaway, this cornerback. What do you say about that?
Obviously, there are some guys that are in this group that does have some spots on them, but trust me, we've done our due diligence in making sure that we've vetted it all out, and we feel very good about putting these guys in our organization. And there's no question that we have the resources in place to help them through it, and we'll kind of go from there.
You have a guy in those kind of situations. I guess what's the decision-making process on why do we even take on a headache like this?
Well, I think John said it earlier. I think it's a case-by-case basis, and I think you really dig into it because you have to. You have to make sure you understand all the different angles of it all to be able to make a decision. And when it's all said and done, we make a decision as an organization, and we make a decision, all of us, to do our part into making it right. You know, so I think we feel good about what we know and how we're going to attack the issues.
How do the two receivers you got today fit as players?
They're good football players. I mean, obviously, Callaway, his statistics for the 1 year or year and a half, whatever that was outstanding. And then Radley, you know, obviously he doesn't have a lot of numbers, but he is a very talented player and has played and made plays. So we're very excited about getting these 2 year men on our team.
Where is Austin Corbett going to start?
Well, we're going to start him off at playing, you know, he's versatile. He can play tackle. He can play guard. We're going to give him a chance to do both, you know, and see where he fits. But, again, he's a really good football player, and I don't think you can have too many good football players. And, again, if we have to do some shuffling along the line, when it's all said and done, we're going to put our best five guys out there.
Is there a chance he would be seeing time at center this first year?
I probably wouldn't go that far. But if need be, Tony, we would, you know, because he does have that skill set. I think having guys, whether they're starters or backup, that have the versatility to play all five spots is very important.
Could that include the Tony left tackle?
You may see anything. When it's all said and done, my job is to make sure that we have the best group of guys out there. And if it means that, then we'll do that too.
How about this linebacker, Avery? He said he could play inside out. Where do you envision him?
I will start him on the inside at Mike, you know, but I think he can play all of the different spots. And obviously he's going to be a real core special teams guy. So there's a lot of different things he can do. But this guy, he knows how to go sack the quarterback and make plays on the ball. So we're excited about him.
Can you address the notion that, you know, people are already starting to talk about, you know, Baker Mayfield's not going to be sitting on the bench. He's going to be in there. I mean, it's kind of happening already.
So. Right, and I respect that. I mean, I think anytime you draft a quarterback at number one overall, everybody wants to see him play. But I've made a true commitment you know, our football team. Tyrod Taylor's going to be the starter. Baker's going to compete. However that unfolds, it unfolds. But right now, Tyrod is the starter. If Baker can understand the National Football League and all the rigors that in the grinding that you have to go through, I'm not going to ever stop a player from being the best he can be. But we have a plan, and I want to work that plan as much as we can. Now, can a player supersede that? You never know. I haven't had that happen. But right now, this team is going to be led by Tyrod Taylor.
Do you have have to, well, you, even yourself, I mean, everybody gets excited about a number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bring those physical skills to camp, the crowd gets excited, the mm-hmm. coaches get excited, the players all do. I mean, will you have to guard yourself against, you know, kind of wanting to?
I've been through this, not a number one overall, but I've been through this the last 2 years, you know, and I just think I have to do what's best for the football team and organization and the player. You know, and I don't think you want to put a player out there too soon, you know, if they're not ready to go. So we have the luxury to do that and make sure that Baker is in the right spot before we ever put him in that predicament.
Number two, is it him and Stanton or one or the other?
There's a chance. I mean, again, he's starting number three right now. He's got to work his way up. He's got to earn it, you know. We're not going to give anybody anything. Draft status is just that, you know. You still got to earn the right to play for the Cleveland Browns, and that's what we're going to create here.
What is he going to benefit from most?
I'm sorry?
What's he going to benefit from most, you know, if he is behind Taylor to start the season?
I'm not following
what's
you.
What's the greatest benefit to him not playing right away?
Not playing? Well, I think the biggest benefit to him not playing is understanding. I think John said it the other day, just coming in and learning first how to prepare, making sure that process and what that's going to be for him, starting to understand defenses in the National Football League, especially within our division, outside of our division, how you have to prepare day in and day out for just the rigors of pro football. And so I think a guy has to learn how to do that. And that takes time, and some people can do it faster than others, and we just got to figure out what that's going to be for him.
After working him out, watching this film, what's the main thing you need to work on with him as he transitions?
I think the biggest transition that Baker's going to have is going to play under center somewhat, because we will put our quarterback under center. Obviously, I think about 95% of the things that he's done has been in the shotgun, so that's going to be a big change for him.
We know, of course, about your 6'2" deal, and mm-hmm. you talk about outliers. But how would convince you, or how long would it take for you to be convinced that Baker's going to be one of these outliers?
I am being very honest. It started at the combine, just talking to him and listening to some of the things he said. And I go, okay, well, that still didn't convince me yet. And then going down and working him out in Norman and spending that time in Norman and watching him with his teammates and how he throws the football. The ball jumps off his arm. He has a quick arm. He's very accurate with the ball. And from there, then obviously spending some more time when he came here. Baker Mayfield is, from a football IQ standpoint, is as good as I've been around. He has a tremendous arm talent, more so than I think anybody knows. Obviously, he's proven he's very accurate with the football. And I really think he's a tremendous leader. So he has a lot of the qualities that we look for. And I think a lot of people, I think, is now somewhat coming out that a lot of people had him as their best quarterback. So we're very excited to have him and very glad that he's going to be here in this organization.
About his qualities, I mean, when you think about the number one pick,
mm-hmm.
you know, typically you think about the pros.
Again.
Was it difficult for you to get there with a guy who didn't fit your mold?
No, I mean, you have to think through it. I mean, because I know there are outliers, you know, to this. You know, there's no question about it. When I think of my time with Michael Vick a little bit, you know, I mean, this is not a cookie cutter situation when you're trying to find the right quarterback that fits for you. There's things that you're very bullish on, and this has got to be there. But there's also things when you keep watching the tape, you have to let the tape tell the story for you. And if you watch his tape, it says it all. I mean, a guy can play quarterback and play it well.
When you watch Nick Chubb, what do you see?
I see a real I see an AFC North back is what I see. I see a guy that's very physical, very tough. He can create runs on his own. Again, he's had a really good career at Georgia, the number two rusher in all the SEC in his time there. And, again, this is a guy that if we're going to run the football the way we plan on running, you got to have – good backs, you know, and him and Carlos and Duke, we feel like we have some guys that we can do that with.
When you look at you mentioned Hyde and Duke, I mean, last year you only had two guys, mm-hmm. this year, so like how do you imagine those guys kind of fitting together?
I think it'll work itself out. I mean, I know right now when you look at us from a offensive standpoint, you wonder where all these balls are going to go, because a year ago that wasn't a problem. But I think it's a good problem to have. I think when you're really trying to become really, really good, what other way to do it than with good football players? you know, and all it does is raise the level in the rooms, it raises the level on the practice field, and I think guys are going to have to compete to earn a right to get the ball in their hands.
When you talk about Baker, football IQ, can you give an example of what he showed you when you had him on the board or that really showed that he gets what you need him to get?
Well, I think, again, first, I think you guys have watched him play. You watch his tape, and if you really are in tune to it, you'll see him making all the decisions and the calls up front himself. That said a lot to me, and it's not just hold up a sign. I mean, it was he had to give the information to his offensive players while also making sure he understood the defense and then go back and execute at a high level. So that right there gave me an idea as to that this guy has, you know, he can really either memorize things extremely well, photographic memory, or that he really understands a process to get information. And then you put him on the board here with our information, and he's able to spit it back pretty fast. That tells you a lot.
Personality-wise, excuse me, what does he remind you of, guys you've been around? He's certainly got kind of a charisma about him in a way.
He really does. I haven't been around this guy, but I've competed against him. And I think, I mean, again, I hate to compare him to anybody, but again, you're talking about just from afar, just that personality, that fire, that fight. When I think of Philip Rivers, that's what it is. I mean, it's just these guys are trying to beat you every chance they get. And it's just in them, and it shows.
It's going to be hard for him. You talk about his leadership qualities. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be hard for him to exude that and be that kind of guy as a number two or a number three?
It is, but that's where I have to help him. You know, when his time comes, his time comes. I mean, he has to understand, you know, that Tyrod is that leader right now and allow Tyrod to be the best he can be that way and assist and help when he can. But also, I don't want to, you know, muzzle him. I want him to be who he needs to be as well, because I think there's a way to get those things done.
While you guys look at that list of picks and you believe they're all really good football players, mm-hmm. but on paper you may have one starter in September out of this draft class.
And that's
might be the quarterback. So your reaction, if that would happen, is that a good draft or a good team?
I think that's the building of a good team, because that says that, again, these are players that we're putting on our team that we feel real good about, and they're going to have to compete at a high level with the guys at certain positions that you've just mentioned that's here on this team with. And either our guys that are here are going to step up and get it done, or the players that we drafted are going to step up and get it done. It's one or the other. I think that's an excellent problem to have, because it means that you have a chance to have a better football team.
How concerned were you about adding Callaway to that receiver room when we have, you know, we all know Josh's history and Corey hasn't gotten off to the greatest start?
No, we've talked through all of those different scenarios, and again, I feel very comfortable, you know, again, with the room and where the room is. There's no question. I understand the concern, and rightfully so. But I think when we talked through it all and really dug into it all, we feel good about, one, that we have the right resources to give this young man the best chance to be the best person first and then the best football player he can be.
What really stands out about Callaway? Because when John came down here, he said he'd be the first or second receiver picked if he didn't have these issues. But his numbers don't.
Well, he didn't play a lot, so that's probably why the numbers don't say as much. But the guy can score the football. He's very sudden. He's very fast. He can catch the ball. I mean, he can make tough catches, big catches. So, again, I mean, at the end of the day, we know what kind of football player he is. We need to, when we get him here, is make sure he starts to understand what the culture is here in the Cleveland Browns, and he'll do that.
You've had experience in other places, and it seems like the Bengals sort of embraced guys that needed a second chance. So yeah. Can you talk just about the philosophy of that and your thoughts on it?
Well, I've been through this before. You said as a position coach. And first of all, I feel very comfortable with our position coach, Adam Henry, being there, and then Todd Haley and myself. You know, obviously my role's changed, so it allows me to go around and be a little bit more of a, per se, assistant to a position coach. So I truly feel that I think if you address – the issues up front, and you have a plan for it. I think the players, at the end of the day, they want to play, You know, they want to have an opportunity to play in the National Football League. And again, the carrot is having that chance to play. And if you don't do things the way we see fit, then obviously we have to move forward. But I feel very comfortable with us taking this chance, because that's what it is, let's just be honest, and dealing with this, because I think we have the right resources in place.